Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody, amen. We praise God for being here on today. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio, amen. This is the station where you can, where we claim that you be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here today on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Amen. And it's the 4th of July weekend. Amen. I thank God because the meaning of the 4th of July is Independence Day. Amen. Having independence. Amen. Having freedom. Amen. And so I have been doing some praying and seeking the Lord and all of that and seeking the Word of God, and I did not know what to do. I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to talk about on today in Jesus' name, but the Lord has given me something to talk about on today in Jesus' name. He wanted me to go over more in depth of what we went over on last week, which is the free will of life and death. Amen. He wanted me to continue that in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say something before we get started. I want to get the preliminaries out of the way in Jesus' name. I want to give God praise, glory, and honor, for he is the head of my life in Jesus' name, giving honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, amen, giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, amen, and my First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle, amen, and the founder of this broadcast, the founder of this a network in Jesus' name, the Honorable Bishop Cook, amen. Bishop Charlene Cook, amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. The Bible does say, give honor to whom honor is due in Jesus' name. And I know that these three people other than Jesus Christ, amen, really don't want to be honored, but we honor you anyway in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God for being here with you guys once again in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are going to do part two of the free will of life, the free will of life and death. Amen. We talked about it on last week that free will is a gift from God. Amen. Free will comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Free will was in the beginning because of God. God gave us, when he created man, he gave man free will. Now, in the process of giving man free will, as we read in the book of Genesis, where when he created Adam, he gave Adam free will to name the things that were created. Amen. He gave Adam free will to take care of the Garden of Eden. Amen. He gave Adam free will. Amen. And with that free will did not just come his accountability to take care of the garden or to name whatever He named the animals and the creations that God created, but he also gave him free will for another reason, to be able to give him free will to serve him, because God is a God that does not force itself upon no man. Amen. But with free will, he knew, God knew that free will would get us in trouble. And you might say, well, why would he give free will if he knew that man was going to get in trouble by free will? And what I mean by getting in trouble by free will, it was their free will, the choices that they made. It was the choice that Adam made. It wasn't the specifically the free will, but it was the choice that Adam made that brought degradation, or you could say damnation, unto the world, that brought sin into the world. And we're going to get into that when we get further into the topic on today. But let's go back. I'm going to take you back a little bit. Amen. I'm not going to stay on this too much because we discussed this on last week. But free will is the power of acting without concern or fate, the ability to act at one's own discretion. Amen. This is the ability to act at one's own discretion. This is the man-made definition of what free will is. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and we see that God gave free will in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Amen. And it reads, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest of thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, in these two verses right here, they're showing us that God gave us free will to choose. Free will is nothing but choices anyway. When we get up in the morning, we have free will to choose what breakfast we're going to eat. We have free will to choose what clothes we're going to wear. Amen. We have free will to choose if you are a person that listens to the radio or watches TV or something like that, you have a free will to choose. Amen. And he gave us also free will to serve him. He gave us free will to choose whether we want to be a Christian or not. But we do not get to choose out of our free will the after effects or the consequences of our actions. We do not get to choose that. Amen. God chooses that. Amen. So when we look in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, he has given man free will. Free will to take care of the Garden of Eden. He is, as we see in verse number 15, which we did not read, but in verse number 15, God gave man control to dress it and to keep the garden in any way that he see fit within the boundaries of God's approval. Amen. In free will, there is an approval by God. There is an approval. You can't go outside the boundaries with that free will. You can, but there is consequences if you go outside the boundaries of God's approval. If you're in the boundaries of God's approval, you can do whatever you want to do in the boundaries of God's approval. Because, and the reason why I can say you can do whatever you want to do, it's not saying that you're disobeying God, because if you're in God's will, you're not in God's. Now, God has a permissive will and he has a divine will. So let's get that straight. Divine will says, this is my good and perfect will for your life. If you are in God's soul, I'm going to do this like this, and I'm going to say it the way God tells me to say it. Stay in God's divine will. As long as you are in God's divine will for your life, that is God's approval for your life, God's divine will, not God's permissive will. God's permissive will is something that you might want or might ask for from God, and God is telling you, no, I really don't want you to have that. And you keep begging God, God, I need this. God, I want this. God, I need this. God, I want this. And you and God says, okay, well, I'm going to give it to you. I know you don't need it. I know you don't have to have it, but I'm going to give it to you because you asked me for it. But the after effects, the consequences of what you're asking for, you're going to have to make your bed and lie in it. That's God's permissive will. So as long as we are in God's divine will, then we can do whatever we want. Amen. In the structures of God, in the free will, we can do whatever we want. We can go wherever we want to. We can be whoever we need to be, as long as it's in God's plan. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, let's go there and let's see what this says. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, watch this. I'm going to stop right there. When the enemy comes in and tries to mess up what God has established for our life, The devil will use three things. He'll come in three ways: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the only three ways he works, because he is in the confines of those three areas, because God has permitted for him to come in those three different ways. He can only come in those three different ways because that's God's boundary line for the devil. Amen. So this was the lust of the eye. This right here, this verse right here is showing us that the devil was coming in into, amen, into Eve through the lust of the eye. She saw that it was good. Amen. She saw, hey, this food looked good. It looked good to me. It looked good. But everything that looked, one of my friends from high school, they used to say all the time, what looks good to you may not always be good for you. Amen. What looks good to you may not always be good for you. But out of free will, God allows you to make a decision whether you want it or you don't want it, to either take it or don't take it. Amen. But in this verse, it says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. See that? The lust of the eye. And the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Right then and there, when Adam ate of that tree, when Adam ate of that fruit, and it wasn't necessarily the fruit that he ate of, because a lot of people say, well, he ate of an apple. And the Bible doesn't say what fruit he ate of. That really doesn't matter what fruit he ate of. Amen. The thing was is that he ate of a fruit that God told him not to eat of. Amen. Which brought damnation unto man because of Adam's free will. He corrupted free will because of one choice. Free will, everything from then up until now has been corrupted. Everything. I mean, free will, our lives, our health, everything was corrupted after sin came into the world. Amen. So why do we have free will to believe or not believe? Why do we have free will? This is the question. Why did God give us free will? Do we know? Well, the Bible, because God does not force himself upon no one. That's the reason why he gives us free will. Simply put, free will. You have a choice either to believe or not believe. Amen? Now, you might say, well, now I'm about to go there because I don't mind going there. But when you, and I'm not picking on anybody's beliefs or anything when I say this. Let me just say that now. Let me put that disclaimer out there now. Amen. We have to be wise. So I'm not picking on anybody when I say this. But atheists believe that there is no God. But an atheist, unless they were born in a family that were atheists, that's the only difference. Unless they were born in a family of atheists, a full-blown atheist once believed in God because they believe that there is no God. How do you not believe in something if it does not exist? Some atheists believe that there is no God. They believe that the God didn't exist. How do you not believe in something if it didn't exist in the beginning? That's just the question. I would then, because atheists say that, hey, prove to me that God exists. Well, I can flip that question back around on them. Because and I've had an atheist ask me this, prove to me that God exists, prove to me that God created the universe. Well, my question back around on them was, if you believe that the universe created you, who created the universe? The term "una" in the word universe means one. Amen? The term "una," I believe it's in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew definition, the term "una" means one. Amen? So if we look in the spiritual side of it, it took God one verse to speak the entire universe into existence. It took him one sentence. Every sentence he said, it happened. Thou shalt be light, and there was light. One sentence. He said it one time. He didn't say it multiple times. Amen? So when we look at this, we say that because God does not force himself on no one, he lets them choose. Now, how do we say that? Well, the Bible lets us know that God lets us choose. That's why free will comes into play. That's how free will comes into play. God didn't establish free will. Yes, he did. He sure did establish free will. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 20. This is a free will right here. God showing us free will, allowing us to choose right here in Genesis and Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, now, and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. This verse right here is showing us God establishing free will to us, allowing us to let free will work, allowing us to choose. That's why it's the free will. That's why the title of this topic is the free will of life and death, giving us to choose between life and death. Amen. If we go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, it's another scripture to show us that God established free will. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. And this is about this right here is if you are witnessing, this is a good thing for people that go out and witness to people about Jesus, and you you're witnessing to somebody. Say, and I'll use this as an example. You're witnessing to somebody, and the person says, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Well, this is for you. Amen. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of the house or the city, shake the dust of your feet. That means don't worry about it. Amen. That person that did not, receive you, they had free will to believe or not believe. It's their choice. Amen. He established free will. Amen. Free will was in this verse. But he's letting you know. Don't be worried about it, because they have, a sinner man has free will too. Just like you had free will to accept me, they got free will to deny me. But they don't have, but just like you didn't have, if you chose to accept me and it chose to live for me, they got the same choice that I gave unto you. They have free will to choose life or death. Now, if you a person that takes on life, because we can't live without him. Amen? We cannot live without Christ. There's nothing else that we can do in the eyesight of God as far as life is concerned without him. There's nothing. We cannot live without him. We cannot move without him. We have all life in him, both spiritually and naturally. Amen? So that begs the question. That begs the question. Where does life and death come from? Did Jesus bring death on the earth? You might say, well, he took the keys of hell and death. So he must bring death on people. Nope. That's wrong. He controls death, yes. Yes. Everything on the earth he controls. So he has the power to control death. And by him controlling death, he has the power to give to bring death on someone. What I mean by bring death on someone, I mean by calling the saint of God home. Amen. By saying it's your time to go, or it's their time to go, or it's their time to go. But death was not permitted in the beginning. Before Adam sinned, there was no death. There was no death. Because there was no sin on the earth. Before Adam sinned, there was no death. Amen? There was only life. God is the partaker of life. Amen? How do we know? We can look in both spiritually and naturally too. Life was given at the beginning. God gave spiritual life and natural life. Amen. Let's go to show where God gave life, both spiritually and naturally. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse number 6. John chapter 14, verse number 6. This is the spiritual life. Amen. This is the spiritual life that he's talking about. Amen, that he was going to give us. And you can even take this verse as the natural life too. Amen. But it's more spiritual than natural. Amen. In John chapter 14, verse number 6, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Which means he is the life. He is life. He has the power to give life spiritually. Now watch this. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Now we're about to talk about natural life. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. Let's go there and let's see. Now this is literally talking about natural life. And it reads, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a what? A living soul." Amen. So what are these two verses saying to us? It's saying that you can't have one without the other. You can't have one without the other. You can't have natural life without spiritual life. You can't have spiritual life without natural life. Your life is in the palm of God's hands. Now, in the spirit, we died. In the spirit, when Adam sinned, when Adam disobeyed God, we lost that life. You might say, well, Minister Tucker, how do you know that we lost the life because Adam chose to do his own thing? He saw that the fruit was good unto him, but it wasn't the fact that it was the fruit that he ate of. It was the fact that God told him not to eat of this tree, to eat the fruit thereof of that tree, and he did it anyway, and that brought death. That changed the course of mankind forever. Well, how do we know? We can go to Romans chapter 5. Let's go there, and let's look at Romans chapter 5. It was Adam that brought death. You might say, how did he bring death on to us? Romans chapter 5, verse 12 will let us know. And it reads, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Which means one man, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So what brought death into the world? Sin did. Because of Adam's disobedience, because Adam using free will the wrong way, it brought, not only did it bring sin, but it brought death, both naturally and spiritually. Amen? It brought death. That's why when you, for example, we see it on the news all the time, somebody getting tragically killed, and then somebody getting murdered. Murdering is a sin. Amen? We see people dying over drug overdoses. Taking drugs and harming your body. Taking drugs is harming your body. Harming your body is a sin. You're not supposed to do anything to defile the temple. The temple meaning your body. That's what the word of God says. When you defile the temple, you're sinning. Because he said don't do it. Amen? And it brings a judgment. Sin has to be judged. Amen. So what does sin bring? What does sin bring? It brings death. It also says in Romans chapter 6. It backs up
Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 6. Let's go there. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where it backs it up. Amen. And it also backs up life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. He's the one that gave life at the beginning, naturally and spiritually. There's only one way to receive life. He said it. We read the scripture. That backed up the scripture. Amen. That backed up John 14 and 6. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 backs up John chapter 14, verse 6. And Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The wages of sin. The wage, once you sin, once you've done that job of sin, you get a wage. Just like you go on your job, you get a paycheck at the end of 2 weeks or a week. Amen. You've done your job, and you've done your job well, you get a paycheck, right? Well, that's the same thing with sin. Once you've done the job of sin, once man has done the job of sin, the wage is death. Now, you might say, well, I'm not dead, and I've sinned, and, well, guess what? Guess what? If a person keeps on sinning, they die spiritually. It's a slow death. It's a slow death. Sin kills us slowly. And sometimes sin kills us fast. Sin kills us quickly sometimes. Well, you ain't got time to repent. That's why we should be in the eye. That's why we should live a life for Christ every day. The Bible says, be ye also ready. It don't just mean that to minister. To preach, to get up and preach. It means that to be ready, be ye also ready. Hallelujah. I've read that several times in my life, but I've gotten different things from God about that verse. Be ye also ready. What are you being ready for? Being ready to give an account for what you're doing. Being able to answer people's questions when they come to you. Be ye also ready for anything that comes along in your life. If God says, this is it, you got to be ready. Amen? This is what it's about. In depth. Amen? So, like I said, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it backs it up. Amen? It backs up John chapter 14, verse 6, and Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Now, watch this. Knowing that the free will got us in, knowing that we used free will the wrong way and it got us in trouble, it didn't take God unaware. It didn't. It didn't take God unaware that man was going to mess up. No, it didn't. It did not take God unaware. How do we know that it didn't take God unaware? Because he let us know. He knew that the enemy was going to try us from then on. So he warned us. He knew that the enemy was going to use every time. See, the enemy doesn't just come in the same way every time. He doesn't just come and try us every single time the same way. Oh, no. Now, he's in the confines of those three areas that I mentioned earlier, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But in those three areas, he comes in different ways. It's the same tactic, just different ways. Amen? The same procedure, just different ways.
just different people. Amen. God used the serpent on Eve and then turned around and used Eve on Adam. He used somebody close to Adam. You see how the devil did that? You see how the devil did? He used the closest thing to Adam to get Adam to sin. Now, I'm not going to say Eve was dumb, because Eve wasn't dumb. Eve wasn't a dumb woman. I'm not going to say that. But I'm just saying like this. And I know that there was no sin before Adam ate that apple. There was no sin. So they didn't know. I mean, they were sheltered, basically, by God. Amen. Their innocence wasn't taken. Amen. They had a lot of, Adam and Eve had a lot of innocence. Amen. They had a lot of innocence. Their innocence wasn't taken away from them. Their innocence wasn't shaken. Amen. But if I see a snake talking to me, because the snake moved its lips and talked to Eve. Amen. The devil used the serpent. If God used the donkey to talk, Satan used the serpent. Amen. And sometimes you may not think that God can use, if God can use a donkey, God can use anything. And Satan has the same, Satan not has the same abilities, but he tries to mimic what God has done. He tries to mimic what God tries to do. Amen. But if we look in John chapter 10, verse 10, this will show us the life that God is trying to give us. And he warns us. He warns us. He warned Adam at the very beginning. You see that? It didn't take God unaware. But God warned Adam before even the serpent came unto him, or before the serpent even came unto Eve, and before Eve came to Adam with the fruit that God told him not to eat of, he warned Adam. He warned Eve. But they chose not to listen to the warning. And out of free will, they chose to use their free will the wrong way. Now, watch this. And this is not even in my notes right now. When God said free will, there's a way. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Watch this. Free will. If you look at that word free will, the first word you see is free. You can't be free in free will until you get free in Christ. Because the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. So you have to go through God to be able to use free will the correct way. Uh-oh. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. You can't use free will in life without going through the life. Without going to and living in the life. Uh-oh. Come on, somebody. You can't do it. You cannot live life. You can't even use anything without the will, without God. We live, we move, and we have our being in God. Amen. That's why Philippians 4:13 says, I can do what? All things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. We have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Watch this. John chapter 10, verse 10. Let's go there. John chapter 10, verse 10. Amen. And you might say, well, you've used this verse before. Yes, I have. Because this is the verse that God told me to write down. So if you got a problem with it, ask of the Lord. Amen. But
John chapter 10, verse 10 says, this is the warning right here to us. See, he warned Adam in the beginning. Adam didn't take heed to the warning. So when he gave life again, he warned us. He warned us right here. This is one of the warnings. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's the devil's job. Three things: to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why I said sin kills us slowly. It doesn't, a backslider doesn't just backslide overnight. Uh-oh. Come on here. A backslider does not backslide overnight. They backslide when they stop going to church, when they stop doing the things of God, when they stop praying, when they stop fasting. And sometimes backsliders can be right up inside the church and still going to church every Sunday. But they backslidden as all get out. You might say, well, what is a backslider? We might have somebody on listening in that's never known what a backslider was. I'm going to tell you what a backslider is. It's a person that has followed God for days, weeks, months, years, and all of a sudden they start listening to their flesh, they start listening to man, and they start easing their way on out spiritually. Slowly easing their way on out, and they become a what? Backslider. Amen. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. A transgressor ain't nothing but a backslider. A person that's turned their back on God. Amen. I remember back when I was about, 15, 16 years old. I think I was about 15 or 16. And I had my former pastor. I called her one day, and you know what? I'm a tell on myself. I was stupid. I was dumb. I called myself, calling my pastor and telling her, you know, mother, I don't think I can do this. I don't want to be saved no more. I don't want to be saved no more. No, I can't live this life. I can't do this. I can't do that. All I was telling her the things I couldn't do. And she said, Adam, she said, you don't want to be saved no more? No, ma'am, I don't want to be saved. She said, oh, okay, all right. Well, baby, you know the way of a transgressor is hard. Now, I didn't know what that meant. Really deeply knew what that, I knew what it meant, but I didn't really deeply knew what it meant at the time. Because I was only 15. I had only, I was saved at the age of 9. I was only saved maybe 5, maybe 6 years. But I knew what it meant. But I found out very quickly what it meant. Because God kept dealing with me. And it only took me, God, in the word of God, it says, he chastens whom he loves. He will not let you go. Now, if you choose to want to leave him, he'll allow you to go out of free will. But in the process, he'll be chasing you until he gets tired. And you know when God gets tired, because he'll turn that person over to a reprobated mind. That's when God is tired. But it takes a whole lot for God to turn somebody over to a reprobated mind. He tries to deal with him and tries to deal with him and tries to pat him. And pity pat, come on. He tries to tell the sinner man, come on in. But yet they don't heed to sound instruction. Even the saved person, sometimes we get lax in our prayer life, and the word of God is trying to tell us to pray more. Or the pastor is preaching and the word of God hit us and tell us to pray more, fast more, do this more, do that more. And we just sitting there like two deer, we acting like a deer in the headlights. Uh-oh. But when we get, when my pastor had said the way of a transgressor is hard, I didn't understand it. But you know what? I understood it after I got off the phone with her. I went a whole week telling myself, oh, I'm not gonna be saved. I'm not gonna be saved no more. I don't wanna be saved no more. Da 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 da, whatever. I'm not gonna do it. Not gonna do it at all. Man, the Lord whooped me. When I say the Lord whooped me. And he whooped me back into submission with him. And you said, but I thought, you might say, well, I thought the Lord was giving you free will to serve him or not. I chose to serve him, and so he gave me a whooping. He whooped me back into submission with him because I had already chose to serve him before. He allowed things to happen, and he allowed people to come to me that didn't even know what I was going through. And I remember a sister, I was at school, and there was a sister from a church that we fellowship with, and she was a teacher. She did not know me. She did not know my name at the time. I just saw her one time at this church that we fellowship with. I saw her one time. Come to find out that she was a teacher there. She didn't know my name. She had never met me before in life. And she said, and this is the time that I was dealing with my issue of not wanting to be saved. We were sitting, and I was in middle school. We were sitting there at the desk, and she was helping me with some schoolwork and everything. And it was me and a couple of my friends, and we were at a round table. And she was saved. She's saved. I'm talking about saved, y'all. And all of a sudden, she said, Adam, where art thou? And I looked. I said, what you say? And she said, Adam, where art thou? I said, you know who I am? I said, do you know me? She said, no, I have never met you before in my life. I said, that's my name. She said, what is your name? I said, my name is Adam. And she said, the Lord put it in my spirit to say it. I don't know. Because she was sitting there reading her Bible while she was helping us. And she was allowing us to do our work. And if we needed help, then she would stop reading her Bible and help us and then continue reading her Bible. And I remember that to this day. And I said, ma'am, why did you say that? She said, the Lord just brought it in my spirit. I said, okay. I talked to her after we got out of that classroom, and I talked to her for a good 15, 20 minutes during passing period. And I said, ma'am, thank you. She said, for what? I said, I just sat over there and was stupid enough to tell the Lord and to tell my pastor I ain't want to be saved no more. And the Lord spoke to me in class, in the middle of class, and asked me where I was. Are you liking where you are right now? And that was the free will that I chose to use to come back to him. And I called my pastor that day, and I told her what happened and what took place. And I said, Mom, I want to be saved. She said, you do? Yes, ma'am, I want to be saved. And I told her about the experience that happened at school. And she said, yep, that was the voice of the Lord. She said, that woman didn't know you? I said, no, ma'am. I've never met her. I've met her one time at church that we fellowship with. But other than that, I didn't say anything to her. I didn't tell her anything that we had talked about, that I told you about, or anything. And she said, yep, that was the voice of the Lord trying to get you, trying to correct you, calling you out. She said, are you going to listen? Are you not going to listen? I said, Mother, I'm going to listen. I'm listening to the voice of the Lord. And I chose to listen. Amen. But when we look at this, in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief cometh but The thief coming but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you might have what? Life, and that more abundantly. Why did he come that we might have life? Because sin departed, messed up our relationship with him. That's why I said it killed us spiritually and it killed us naturally. Amen. Sin brought death into the world. It didn't just kill us physically. We wouldn't, look, let me tell you something. If Adam hadn't sinned, we wouldn't have funerals. We wouldn't need funerals. God wouldn't have had to die because everything was pleasant. Everything was perfect. There was no death. We wouldn't need caskets. We wouldn't need none of that. And that was God's intention. But since man fell out of the will of God by using their free will the wrong way and not using their free will in God, which we got it from the Lord in the first place, but we chose to use it outside of the will of God. And that's what brought sin. That's what brought death. That is what brought degradation unto us. Amen. But when God came, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why the verse, John 3:16, says, for God so loved, his soul loved, that's why he came to give us life. Amen. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, there goes that free will again, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What is that life everlasting? Transitioning into life, transition to life to life. From your eternal life into your spiritual life, which means heaven. Living life down here in the confines of God, living here in the confines of the Spirit, living life in abundancy, and then transferring. Once you leave this world, you can transfer into your eternal life. You have both. See, there's two things that you have here that God has given us on the earth. He gave us spiritual life and he gave us natural life, and he wants us to live that spiritual life and that natural life in him so that can transfer into our spiritual life in heaven. Uh-oh. But how? He came that we might have life. Amen. Amen. It says that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. It says that in how do we receive that life? How do we receive that eternal life? He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. It's a gift. He's given us life as a gift. That life is a gift unto us. That's why the Bible says life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. It's a gift. You can either choose to take it or not. And I know my children at Christmas time, my three boys, they love Christmas. Now, I've taught them what the meaning of Christmas is and things like that, but I know the meaning of Christmas, and they know the meaning of Christmas as well. They don't know the in-depth of it because they're children, and I'm teaching them the in-depth of it. But it's okay to I don't believe that God is going to send somebody to hell for buying somebody a gift, because the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen. We got to give. Amen. Be a giver. Amen. So when I get my kids Christmas gifts, you know, I let them know, hey, you know, this is a gift given from your mother and your father, given to you. Now, they could choose to accept it or not. Amen. They ain't got to accept it. Hey, look, give me the gift back and I will take it back, give my money back. You don't like it. Amen. But when we look at this, the gift is, what is the gift in life? What is the gift of life? The gift of life is the Holy Ghost. Amen. The gift of life is the Holy Ghost. It is Him. It is Him living in us. It is Him living in us. It is Him living in us. So when we see this, amen, we see in Acts 2:38, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. See, I stop everything. See, I don't pull no punches. I don't hold back. See, when the Lord tells me to do something, I do it. The blood of Jesus. I'm praying right now, y'all. And I ain't even going to say it over the air what's going on, but there's something going on right now. Amen. And amen, the blood of Jesus. Amen. And the Lord just took care of it. Amen. We thank God. Amen. But back on the lesson, Acts 2:38 says, amen, the gift of the Holy Ghost was given. Amen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the gift. That is the power that has been given to us from God to live a life of no sin. To be able to tell the devil, no, you're not going to get me. Just like he tried with Adam and succeeded. Just like he tried with Eve and succeeded. That's why the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Well, how does it lift up a standard? When the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, this is how we use our free will the correct way. We don't give in to sin. We don't give in to degradation. We don't give in. But we tell the enemy no. We tell our flesh no. We pray more. We fast more. We read our word more. Even when our bodies don't feel like it, we still give God the praise. Even when we don't, come on here. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns right now, you can call in to the station. If you want to leave a comment, amen, we would love your comment in Jesus' name. We love doing this, amen. I love doing this, amen. I love being led by the Spirit of God, amen, to bring forth topics every Saturday, amen. But if you have any questions, you can give those questions. You can call in Jesus' name. Or you can send a message through the message board in Jesus' name, and Bishop Cook will get those questions to me in Jesus' name. If so, amen. But we have the gift of God, the gift from God, amen, which is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes that we might have power. Acts 1:8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have what? Power. Power to do what? Power to say no to your flesh. Power to say no to the enemy. Power to say no to man that tells you, oh, it can't be done. Power to say, Well, I don't think you can live saved. Oh, yes, I can, because the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, yes, I'm going to quote it again, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Why? Because I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. Why? Because great, thank you, Jesus. First John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What is the Holy Ghost? That is God's Spirit living on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And that's the greater. The greater is on the inside of me. Greater than anything in this world. Greater than any. The Holy Ghost is greater than any witch or warlock that could ever come near you. Greater than anything, any spirit that's not of God that can come near you. He can break any addiction. He can break anything that is trying to compel you to destroy your life. Hallelujah. Anything that's trying to destroy your life, he can destroy that which is trying to destroy your life with the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. He came that we might have life. And in that life in Christ, in that being a Christian, in that, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, in that Holy Ghost that we have, we can learn how to live life. In the Holy Ghost, we can learn how to say no to the enemy. In the Holy Ghost, we can learn how to strategize and go through life, hallelujah, go through life's problems, hallelujah. We can learn how to speak life over ourselves, hallelujah. We can speak healing over ourselves. We can speak, thank you, Jesus. Where there is no hope, we can speak hope over mankind, hallelujah. You can speak hope over your family. You can speak hope over your children. You can speak, come on here. If you got a family member that ain't saved, you can speak life. Why? Because the greater is on the inside of you, because God gave us that gift to be able to speak like the same God that was risen from the dead. Hallelujah. He said that thank you, Jesus. He said that they didn't take my life, but I laid it down. And I got the power and the authority to pick it back up again. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And that's the same resurrection power, hallelujah, that's going to raise the dead when the rapture takes place. That's the same power, hallelujah, that when you're down, you're not down, hallelujah. But when you're weak, you're strong, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's why Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 tells us that the power of death and life lie in the power of the tongue. Why? Because that same spirit, hallelujah, the same Holy Ghost, hallelujah, that was given on the day of Pentecost is able to speak through you, able to speak life through you, able to, come on here, you're able to speak over situations, tell that situation to stop, hallelujah, you're able to tell that storm to cease, hallelujah, I hear the voice of God, hallelujah, hey, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, I hear the voice of God saying that if you are going through a storm right now, tell that storm, ask the master to still the storm for you and speak to that storm and say, peace, be still. Hallelujah. I hear the voice of God say, peace, be still on today. Hallelujah. If you're going through degradation in your life, if you have an addiction in your life, I don't care what it is. God can break that addiction. God can tip. Thank you, Jesus. If you're looking to be saved, God can save you no matter what you've done. No matter where you've been, God can still save your soul as long as you have life in your body and as long as you're breathing on today. Hallelujah. You got the ability to receive the Holy Ghost on today. Hallelujah. As long as you can receive the Holy Ghost now by speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Only thing you got to do, hallelujah, there's a requirement, hallelujah. You got to repent, hallelujah. And you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. But you can receive it now. You can receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can speak in tongues before you go down in the water. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. We have the ability with the Holy Ghost to speak life and death over a situation. Free will gives us access to speak life or speak death over a situation. This is how we use our free will correctly. That's why I said we can't use free will the correct way until we go through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's only one way. The Bible says there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's only one. If you come in any other way, if you try to use any other thing, hallelujah, that you come in, if you try to come in this way, if you try to come in here in the body of Christ, any other way, you come in as a thief or a robber. If any man preaches any other gospel unto you, hallelujah, the Bible says, let him be accursed. Telling you that there's more than one way? No, there's not more than one way. There's only one way. There's I quoted the scripture earlier. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Why does that scripture say that? Because man's intellect cannot comprehend God's intellect. See, that's why, I'm about to go there. That's why atheists and people that do not believe in God can't comprehend how God created the universe, because their understanding is not even on God's level. Come on. Why? Because it's in the spirit. And if you're not in the spirit, if you don't have his spirit, you can't comprehend what God is trying to do. Nobody can. If you are in a carnal mind, you cannot comprehend what God is trying to do for any person, you, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad. You won't be able to comprehend it. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to even go further than that. If you can't comprehend, you're living beneath your privilege. Uh-oh. People in this world have taken free will and they have abused. There's two things that people have abused: free will and grace. And I'm speaking through the unction of the Holy Ghost today. There are two things that man has literally taken out of context and literally tried to, with their actions, have literally made a mockery out of. And that is free will and grace. Preachers have used grace and God has told them to preach a specific message, and they more concerned about the tithes and the offerings, and they more concerned about the fame and the fortune. So they use their free will to preach what they want to preach. They use their free will to preach another gospel. They use their free will to tell man that it's okay for you to dib and dab and sin and still, you're still saved. And then they have this saying, once saved, always saved, or I'm not perfect, or I'm only human. The devil is a liar. The devil is a lie. I come against that spirit. The devil is a liar. The devil, the devil is deceiving many, because you know what? That saying of I'm not perfect, you can use that. You can use that saying all you want to, but it ain't gonna get you into heaven. And I'm speaking to, as I said before, as I said on last week, I'm talking to who I'm talking to. This goes out to whoever I'm talking to. Family, friends, loved ones, enemies, whoever. I don't care. This is what God has said. But the establishment of the faith, the establishment of God is to use our free will for life, to use our free will in the confines of the acceptable will of God. In the acceptable will of God, which is recorded in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The acceptable will of God. Amen. This is what free will is for. Amen. The free will is for us to be able to say, hey, Lord, what do you want me to do today? That's free will. You asking God, what do you want me to do today, God? It's free will for you. Hey, look, God, I want to bless somebody. That's living in the confines of God's acceptable will for your life. I wanna be a blessing to somebody. That's using your free will for the good. Amen. I wanna witness to somebody today. That's using your free will the correct way. And I hear so many people in these last couple minutes I got. I'm gonna say this. There's so many saints that are so-called saints that use their free will for more than what God wants them to use it for. What do you mean by that, brother? I mean they use their free will to talk about the things that the devil has done to them. This is some of the reason why pastors have canceled out praise service. That ain't the full reason, but that's part of the reason. Amen. Amen. They done canceled out having praise service, letting people speak about the goodness of God because they don't know how to praise God. And every time you see them, they got the woe is me. You're using your free will for that. You praising more, you praising the problem more than you praising God. You get up there and you call yourself testifying, or either one of the two, either a person's up there trying to preach and they ain't supposed to be the preacher, or they testifying about the woes is me. Oh, the devil did that to me. Oh, the devil did this to me. Oh, the devil did that to me. And all through that testimony, you hear, oh, well, the devil done got my cat sick, and he done ran over my dog's foot, and my children are acting up, and I got a headache, and all of this. And at the end of it, pray for me and my strength in the Lord. Pray for your strength. I'm going to pray for more than your strength. Jesus, God Almighty. But that's where the power comes in. So you won't be, and you know what? I believe, and this is my own personal opinion, that I believe that a saint of God should never be depressed. That ain't just my personal opinion. That's in the will, that's in the confines of God's will for your life. A saint of God is not supposed to be depressed. Why? Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. There is no depression in having, there's no depression in that. There's no depression on me thinking of the goodness of the Lord. And there's no depression in that. Amen. But when you get to the place where you just wanna just sit there and just be depressed, you praising your problem more than you praising God. There's a problem with that. A problem. And it ain't right. Amen. But I praise God. And I'm going to leave you with this last scripture in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And then it reads like this. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And then it reads, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then we got to have that faith. And it takes faith to have free will. It takes faith to use your free will correctly. Amen. In Jesus' name, I thank God for this topic today. I hope it has blessed you. In Jesus' name,
this topic has blessed you. I hope that this topic has helped you in some type of way, in Jesus' name. I pray that you have a very, very blessed 4th of July weekend, amen, the rest of your weekend, and going into Monday, amen. I thank God, because this will be my first 4th of July in like years that I've been off from work, amen. So I thank God for allowing me to be off from work tomorrow, in Jesus' name, and being able to spend time with my family, in Jesus' name. I praise God for each and every one of you, each and every single person on the Spirit of Life, the Spirit of Life family, in Jesus' name. We thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. And we pray that you will be blessed. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And this is the station where you can be transformed, in Jesus' name. And as it says in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord one day. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in Jesus, Lord, in Jesus' name. And now, if you do not hear my voice again, or if you didn't like what I said, if I said anything to offend anybody, amen, I'm going to say it like this. Call Bishop Cook. Ask her for my phone number. Call me, and I'll repeat it all over again. In Jesus' name, I bless God for you. In Jesus' name, I love you all. In Jesus' name. Love you, love you, love you. Have a very blessed 4th of July weekend. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.